नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमुचकुन्द उवाच विमोहितो यं जन ईश मायया त्वदीयया त्वं न पचत्यनर्थदृक् सुखाय दुःखा प्रभवेषु सज्जते गृहेषु योषेत् पुरुषश्च वञ्चितः श्रीमुचकुन्द उवाच विमोहितोऽयं जन ईश मायया त्वदीयया त्वं न पचत्यनर्थदृक् सुखाय दुःखा प्रभवेषु सज्जते गृहेषु योषेत् पुरुषश्च वञ्चितः श्रीमुचकुन्द उवाच विमोहितोऽयं जन ईश मायया त्वदीयया त्वं न भजत्यनर्थदृक् सुखाय दुःखा प्रभवेषु सज्जते गृहेषु योषेत् पुरुषश्च वञ्चितः
Ladies,
Sri Muchakunda Uvacha. Sri Muchakunda said, Vimohita, bewildered, Ayam, this, Janna, person, Isha, O Lord, Mayaya, by the illusory energy, Twadiyaya, your own, Twam, you, Nabhajati, does not worship, Anarthadrik, not seeing one's real benefit, Sukhaya, for the sake of happiness, Dukkha, misery, Prabhaveshu, in things that cause, Sajjate, becomes entangled, Griheshu, in affairs of family life, Yoshit, woman, Purusha, man, Cha, and Vanchita, cheated. Sri Muchakunda said, O Lord, the people of this world, both men and women, are bewildered by your illusory energy. Unaware of their real benefit, they do not worship you, but instead seek happiness by entangling themselves in family affairs, which are actually sources of misery. Purport. Muchakunda immediately makes it clear that he is not going to ask the Lord for material blessings. He has advanced spiritually, far beyond those who try to exploit religion for all kinds of material benefits. Artha means value, and the negation of this world, anartha, means that which is valueless or useless. Thus the term anarthadrik indicates those whose vision is focused on valueless things, who have not understood what actual artha or value is. All that glitters is not gold. And Muchakunda here emphatically states that we should not ruin our spiritual chances by entangling ourselves in the fool's gold of bodily relationships. We are meant to love the Lord.
Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahakana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suthe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, entitled The Deliverance of Muchakunda, Text 45. In this context, Muchakunda has just been offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead any benediction that he may desire. Kaliyavana, an enormously powerful person with supernatural strength, had just attacked Mathura. And Krishna saw there were tens and millions of almost equally powerful soldiers along with Kaliyavana attacking with a desire to destroy the Yadu dynasty and plunder everything they had. In the meanwhile, on the other direction, Jarasandha was marching with about 23 Akshohini divisions of soldiers, another massive army. Mathura was really under siege. So as we have explained in previous classes, Krishna, to protect the Yadus, created Dwarka instantly with the help of Vishwakarma, who Krishna personally empowered to do so. They built a kingdom in the ocean, surrounded by water, magnificent palaces. The residents of Mathura went to sleep at night, and in their sleep, without knowing anything what was happening, they were transported with all of their families, with all of their precious possessions, into magnificent palaces in Dwarka. And they just woke up in such a extraordinary, beautiful place. Meanwhile, Krishna, not even putting on any shoes, went out to meet with Kaliyavana. Kaliyavana challenged Krishna to battle. Krishna didn't even look at him. Didn't even acknowledge him. Understand what kind of a warrior this Kaliyavana was. He could single-handedly defeat all the armies that are present on the earth today. easily. That was his strength. And here he was challenging Krishna to battle. Krishna walked right up to him and then kept walking. This was an insult. He wasn't giving any credibility to Kali Baba. It's one thing to say something bad about a person, but when someone's so great and so strong and so influential, and you just give him no credibility, as if he doesn't even exist. Krishna just walked by. Krishna knows how to humble everyone. And in due course, he does. It's just a matter of when we're willing to admit our humble position before God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, that one should feel ourselves more humble than a blade of grass. Actually, that is our condition. Because by the powers of time, we're hardly even a blade of grass. We're going to be trampled on in this life or beyond. So to be honest is to be humble. Whatever we know, whatever we can speak, whatever we can do, is all by the grace of the higher power of Krishna's grace. And ultimately it will all be taken away on the material and emotional level. So one who understands this is naturally humble. Ahankar, false ego, can only exist in ignorance, in darkness. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna consciousness means to bring the light of Krishna into our lives. And if we're actually Krishna conscious, because Krishna is the source of Surya Narayan, he's the source of the light of the sun, which illuminates everything within this material existence. He's the source of the Brahma Jyoti, the light that illuminates all spiritual and material worlds. And Krishna, as the Paramatma, is within our hearts. When he reveals himself, then all darkness is dispelled. And then ahankar, the false ego, can no longer exist. In the presence of the light, the beauty, the power, the wealth, the knowledge of God, Aishwarya, he possesses all opulences in full, forever. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, whatever great things may be in this world are just a spark of his splendor. Not even a ray compared to the sun planet. So to the degree we realize the greatness of Krishna, we love Krishna. And in that love, The ego is Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas, that I'm eternally the servant of Krishna. That's the real ego. That's our nature. But to think I am the proprietor, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, is simply false ego. Born of ignorance. So here is Kaliyavana. He's born with all these supernatural powers. And Krishna just walks by him.
and turns his back to him. Really an insult. So now this person is extremely angry with Krishna, extremely insulted. And he's casting nasty words. And Krishna doesn't even care for his nasty words. Krishna's manifesting his opulence of renunciation. He just keeps walking. Kaliyavana is running to catch Krishna. And Krishna's effortlessly walking. Even though Kaliyavana is running as fast as he can, Krishna does not increase his pace of walking slightly. And still he cannot be reached. And he's always the exact same distance away. Just molecules away from grabbing Krishna, but he can't touch him. This is really humbling. No matter what he tries, he can't even touch Krishna. He can't catch him. Krishna keeps walking for miles. He goes up a mountain, goes into a cave. And by this time, Kaliyavana is really insulted. And then in the cave, it's dark. He can't see very clearly. But then he sees what appears to be Krishna sleeping. This is really an insult. I'm challenging this person to a battle. I'm challenging to destroy his entire dynasty. And he goes to sleep. This is really minimizing his value. So he was so frustrated, humiliated, that with all his strength, he kicked the sleeping person. And the sleeping person woke up, slowly opened his eyes, looked around to see who had woken him. And he saw the massive form of Kaliyavana. Really a kshatriya. And with great anger, this person gazed on him. And by the power of that glance, the fire element within Kaliyavana's body increased so much that he just burst into flames. And seconds later, his body was nothing but a pile of ashes. Then Krishna steps forward, illuminating the cave with his effulgence. And this person, he asks Krishna, "Who are you?" Said, "I think you must be one of the demigods, maybe the god of fire. Actually, you must be the lord of the three gods. You must be the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the source of everything. I could tell because of the way you are illuminating this entire cave and you are illuminating my own heart." He could recognize Krishna. And then after asking Krishna who he is, out of etiquette, he explained who he was. That my name is Muchakunda. And I was a king of an unrivaled kingdom. The demigods were being terrorized by asuras. They requested me to protect them. And I did. For a long time, I was constantly fighting with diligence. And after many, many, many years, when Kartikeya was established as the general of the devas, the demigods thanked me that you have done your service well. Now you can retire. We have our own general. But we'd like to offer you any benediction you wish. We can give you anything of this world, but we cannot give you liberation, because only Vishnu can do that. Mochakunda only asked to sleep. The demigods informed him that you were fighting for us for so long that we put you on our time zone. And the time zone of your kingdom as a human is something very different. Oh, your wives, all your children, grandchildren, all your friends, brothers, sisters, everyone has long ago died. Everything that you once had is gone. That was his sacrifice. For the purpose of service, he was willing to forsake everything that was dear to him in this world. And now they're asking him for any benediction. Let me go to sleep. Because he didn't sleep in a long time. There are certain pushings of human nature that are there for the lower species also, that when neglected become great necessities. Hunger, thirst, sleep. They could really make people obsessed. Of course, there's other things, greed, lust, that really obsess people. But on a very fundamental level, if you don't get proper sleep, nothing in your body can work properly. In fact, one of the keys to good health is appropriate sleep. Because even the mind becomes so easily bewildered, frustrated, disturbed if it doesn't get proper sleep. And the body could be subjected to so many diseases. That's why we see in the life of the six Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, he would hardly sleep. And all of his eating and sleeping and going to the restrooms, whatever else he did for the bodily level, was never more than 1.5 hours. That wasn't just an austerity of just somehow staying awake. It was a transcendental state, totally beyond the material platform. He just didn't have time. He was so immersed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And he was just sitting in one place. At the time, Radhakund was just a small paddy field with a pond in it. There were no buildings, no houses, no kutirs. It was just grassy. Not too far away was Aritagram, a village. Raghunath Das Goswami was just sitting there, alone. Every afternoon some people would come and he would speak about 3 hours about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And other than that, he was just chanting and meditating and sometimes doing some writing on some little palm leaves or scrolls. But he was so absorbed, he bowed down to at least 2,000 Vaishnavas a day. There was not even that many people. That means he must have bowed down to so many times to anybody.
That was his regulative principle. 1,000 times to the Lord. He chanted minimum 100,000 names a day. Kaviraj Goswami tells oftentimes it wasn't possible for him to get an hour's sleep because he didn't have time. That was his absorption, total absorption. But that is completely transcendent. We cannot imitate. We have to follow the principles according to who we are and what we can do to absorb ourselves in devotional service and minimize these bodily conditions as much as it's appropriate for our condition. So Muchakunda, he gave up sleeping for so many years. He was really tired. But he did it in the mood of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Because the demigods are the Lord's servants. They're doing the Lord's service in this world. So, very interesting, he asked for that. Just let me sleep. On one level, we can say that he was just really tired. And that's all that mattered to him. Because while you're fighting like that, the inertia, the adrenaline of just protecting and protecting and protecting keeps you awake. But after you're done, then everything kind of comes on you. I think we all have that experience. Sometimes when we're really involved in something, like if you're really tired and then you have to give a lecture, then you somehow get into the lecture and you're full of energy, but then as soon as the lecture's over, you know. So he was fine. He was so enthusiastic and he was so busy, was so energized. And then after he didn't have to do it anymore. All that was left was how tired he was. From another perspective, he was performing his service and he was witness of the nature of this world, how everything is taken away by time. Whatever the demigods can give us, Krishna says less intelligent people worship the demigods for material benedictions. This is the primary teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So whatever they can give, it's all bound by the prowess of time. And time goes so fast. It's so relative. He had experience. The difference between a demigod's life and ours is like between ours and a little tiny insect. Srila Prabhupada explains there are some insects, they're born at sunset. And before the sun rises the next day, they go through a whole relative 100-year lifespan. They're little children, they learn to fly, they learn to eat. They fly around, they play around. Then they get to the stage where they have these desires and they start having families and they have children and they have grandchildren and they have great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And then they're old and they're thinking, God, what have happened to my youth? And then by sunrise, they're dead from old age. Unless some other insect eats them or some person smashes them. If they're lucky, they last till sunrise. So what's 12 hours to us is 100 years for them. So for the demigods, a moment is like 6 months. So he saw that. Why should I ask for anything that's ultimately going to cause me misery. Dukalayam ashashvata. Abramavuvana loka punar avratanojana. Krishna tells in Gita, from the highest planet in this material world, Brahma loka, down to the lowest, they're all places of suffering. Because everything is bound by time. And sometimes the longer you live, the more you become attached to things. And when the inevitable comes, you have to let go. So it's in one sense, it's really a powerful statement, Muchakunda saying. It's like, whatever you demigods, I served you, but what you could give to me, it's of no relevance. Of all the things demigods could give, they could give planets. They could give incredible sense enjoyment. Incredible powers, mystic powers, yogic powers, influence, fame, anything. Anything within creation in the material world, the demigods were willing to give him. And he considered it all so irrelevant before the powers of time, because it's temporary. He just said, let me go to sleep. And whoever tries to wake me, they will burn to ashes. And he knew Indra was listening. The acharyas tell that he didn't want the next time the demigods were in trouble, they would call on him again. So he went to sleep. And Krishna, he runs from Kalyavana. He didn't run, he walked. It's so interesting how he couldn't catch him. The Upanishads describe the Lord doesn't even have material legs, but he's faster than the fastest. No one could catch Krishna. Here is the most powerful warrior on the planet, who has so many powers. He could fly, he could do anything, but he can't catch Krishna. And here, the month of Damodar, we celebrate how Yashodamai, she wasn't a warrior. She wasn't a mystic yogi. She was a simple mother. But because of her love, Krishna ran away from her. Yes? He walked from Kalyavana and he was running. Krishna with Yashoda, he ran. He ran like anything. And Yashodamai caught him. And not only did she catch him, she tied him up with the rope of her praying, her love. To show the world that Krishna cannot be caught by any other means but devotion, bhakti. In the Damodar Astakam that we're singing every morning and evening, Satyavrat Muni from Padma Purana, he's expressing this same concept of benediction. Because people have so many desires in this world. And people live for their desires. He says, I do not want yogic powers. I do not want heavenly pleasures. I do not even want liberation. I do not even want elevation to your abode. I only want to meditate on your pastimes as Damodar, seeing how you're conquered by the love of your devotees. That's his only wish.
He's not even praying for his own connection to Krishna. He just wants to appreciate Yashoda's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for Yashoda. Such a Vaishnava. He's not putting himself in the center. In the spiritual world, if we want to go there, we have to have this consciousness. Everyone in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is reciprocating with each and every person, intimately, personally, uniquely. When Krishna is sitting on bank of Yamuna, every cowherd boy is thinking he's looking only at me. And when he's dancing in Rasalila, every gopi is thinking he's dancing and looking only on me. So Krishna has this, and every flower is thinking Krishna just is smelling my fragrance. And he's so happy, and that makes me so happy. And he's looking at my beauty, and that makes me, I just want to be more beautiful for Krishna. Every peacock, every bird singing. Krishna reciprocates directly, personally with everyone. And yet, it's the primary desire of everyone not to be personally enjoyed by Krishna. But everyone's greatest happiness is to see the exchange of love between Krishna and Sri Radha. All the gopis, they may have so many leelas with Krishna and so many competitions and everything, but their primary desire is just to see Krishna enjoying Radha and Radha enjoying Krishna. That's their ultimate benediction. Just Krishna, you enjoy Radha, and Radha, you enjoy Krishna. And I'm here to serve. And for those in Vatsalya Ras, they just want to see Krishna enjoying the love of Yashoda. And Yashoda Mai enjoying Krishna. So everyone is happy to see not their self in the center, but Krishna and devotees in the center. And that is the prayer of Satyavrat Muni. I don't want anything. I just want to see, Krishna, how you are enjoying Yashoda's love. I want to meditate like that. Let that be my identity. Devotees don't want to be these great souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Ratha Yatra, before revealing the most intimate, esoteric ecstasies of his love for Krishna as Sri Radha, Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam, he offers a prayer to Jagannath. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. My ultimate aspiration is just to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. Because that consciousness pleases Krishna the most. So there are so many persons, by their yogic powers, by their knowledge, by their strength, by their charity, none of these things can catch Krishna. Only devotion. And Krishna revealed Yashoda Mai was a gopi. She wasn't a queen of Dwarka. She was just a gopi. But she captured Krishna. And as we spoke on Sarat Purnima, the younger gopis, because they left everything just to please Krishna, and ultimately all the gopis during that beautiful pastime appreciated with the greatest happiness Sri Radha's love for Krishna
and Krishna's love for Sri Radha. There was no envy. There was no selfishness. There was such appreciation. They were all united in appreciating Krishna's love for Radha, Radha's love for Krishna. And in that way, they performed kirtan in separation. And Krishna appeared in response to the congregational chanting of the holy names. And Krishna told the gopis, I cannot repay each and every one of you. I have no power to repay you. Even with everything I possess, if I offer it all to you for an entire lifetime of Brahma, still, I cannot pay my debt to you. That's the value that Krishna puts on the love of a devotee. Kalyavana, insignificant. Hiranyakashipu, insignificant. Ravana, insignificant. They were the conquerors of the world. But a gopi? Someone who loves me? That is artha. That is the greatest value. And Krishna doesn't give that love easily. Durvasa Muni was a powerful yogi. He was actually an expansion of Shiva. Born of Anasuya. And he was such a powerful yogi. He had so many mystic powers. We learn in the story of Ambarish Maharaj, he could fly, but he didn't even need wings to fly. He just chanted mantras. By chanting mantras, he could soar through space and go within minutes to heavenly planets. And ultimately he went to Brahmaloka, the highest planet in material existence. And he went beyond material existence to Shivaloka. And ultimately he went to Vaikuntha Loka. Incredible. What was his powers? And in this case, he wasn't chasing Krishna. Krishna was chasing him in the form of Sudarshan Chakra. And he could not escape. No matter how fast he went, he could not escape. And no matter where he went, he could not escape. Because he offended Ambarish Maharaj by getting angry with him, by blaspheming him, and by trying to hurt him. And ultimately, after getting the guidance of Brahma and Indra and Shiva, he finally fell at the feet of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, the ultimate shelter for everyone. Ambarish said, please save me. This Sudarshan Chakra is right behind me. It's burning me. It was very similar to Krishna and Kalyavana. Always right behind him. No matter how fast he flew, no matter how slow he flew, no matter where he stopped, the Sudarshan Chakra was always right behind him. Krishna, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mam, one who takes shelter of Krishna gets all protection. So Durvasa Muni says, you have promised, you will protect. I surrender to you. Protect me. Narayan said, I cannot protect you because you have offended my devotee who loves me. And he spoke this famous verse, Sadhunam Hridayam Dvayam. That my devotee is always in the core of my heart. This is how Prabhupada translates it, the core of my heart. To be in the heart is something very special because the heart is the center focus of love for the whole body. Yes? And Krishna's body is not different than him. It's transcendental. It's spiritual. Krishna says, not only devotees in my heart, in the core of my heart. The core means the essence, the most intimate place. My devotee is always in the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of my devotee. My devotee is willing to do anything for me, and I am willing to do everything for my devotee. That is the power of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, in the love of Sri Radha, during the Mahaprakash at Sri Vasangam, he was glorifying Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur had no material possessions. By social standards, which were extremely important in those days, he was considered an outcast, an untouchable. He had nothing material. But he loved to chant Krishna's names. Trinadapi Sunichena. He had that humility. Because he was so humble and so tolerant and so forgiving, he could constantly chant Krishna's names. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Haridas Thakur, I am forever a prisoner in his heart. Now, nobody in this world wants to be a prisoner. It's a terrible fate to be in prison. But Krishna, he wants to be a prisoner of love. By his own sweet will, he is abhigya and swarat. He is totally independent, totally free. People are willing to fight and die for freedom. But Krishna, who's supremely free, is the controller of all controllers. He wants to be controlled by his devotee's love. He wants to be a prisoner of his devotee's love. Eternally. No one can catch Krishna by any amount of spiritual practices, by any amount of accumulation of knowledge, by wealth, by strength. But Krishna is conquered by his devotee. That is the month of Damodar, celebrating how Krishna is bound by the rope of his devotee's love. He's even willing and happy to take the Virat Rupa. We see Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna manifests in the 11th chapter, the universal form. Even the greatest warriors in the universe are devoured by him. But that Virat Rupa becomes a little baby, Gopal, crying and begging mercy from his mother. And that's where he finds the greatest happiness. He's totally independent. But he's depending on his mother's love. So Krishna reveals himself to Muchakunda, and Muchakunda tells Krishna about his life. I had everything, an unrivaled kingdom. And then, as your servant, I fought for the demigods for many years, and I desired this sleep. And now, somehow or other, this person, he doesn't even take credit. He doesn't say, because of my great potency of, I killed this Kaliyavana. He says, by the karmic reactions of his own destiny, now he's burned to ashes. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. We want to give everyone else credit and not take it for ourselves. But when we do something wrong, we're very humble to take the blame. That's how we grow. That's the nature of a great soul. And as we understand what greatness is, what spiritual greatness is, we have a whole different view of life. Because in the material world, people want to give everyone else the blame for their own faults and want to take credit even for what is given to us or what others has accomplished. But when devotees see this, they feel sorry for such a person. They don't think, oh yes, you are so great. You may say that, but in your heart, very unfortunate. Very poverty-stricken heart needs to do that. Real greatness is to have the power to appreciate the greatness of others and ultimately to appreciate Krishna's greatness and how it can manifest through me and how it can manifest through other people and appreciate it's Krishna. And to take blame. So this is Mochakunda's consciousness. And then Krishna reveals himself. He said, you are asking who I am. I have appeared with thousands of forms. And I have appeared with thousands of names. And I have performed thousands of activities. So many. My names, my forms are limitless. Even if a great scholarly person, after many, many births, in every birth counts every speck of dust on the whole earth planet and adds them all up, birth after birth, all the dust on earth, it will not even be in comparison to my names and forms. This is who I am. But in this birth, Lord Brahma called me because of troubles he was having. Approached by Bhumi, a simple mother cow who was earth herself. And I took birth as the son of Devaki and Anakudundabi, or Vasudev. Therefore, one of my names is Vasudev. To see Krishna. He's taking the name in relationship to his father. And he loves these names. Although he's the source of everything. Aham Bija Pratapita. He's the father, the mother of every living being. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. He's the source of all spiritual and material worlds. But he loves to be associated with his devotees. Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, Dasarathi Nandan, Kausalya Kumar, Vasudev, Gopinath, Radha Kanta. He loves to be associated with his devotees. Forever. And Krishna is telling Mochakunda that in your previous times you have prayed to me. You have been my devotee for a long time. And now I want to offer you any benediction you desire.
Krishna tells Muchukunda, now choose some benedictions from me.
The demigods told him that we can offer you anything of this world, but we cannot offer you liberation. What to speak of what is beyond liberation? Now Krishna is saying, you can ask a benediction from me. I can give you anything and everything from either this material world or from all the spiritual worlds.
And he says, one who has satisfied me need never again lament.
We lament because of something lacking, because of some internal emptiness.
We don't lament because of external situations. That may be the apparent cause. The actual lamentation comes when there's something lacking within ourselves. But Krishna says, one who satisfies me never, ever laments. Because they become so full, so rich with Krishna, with love. It's interesting, because after Krishna left Vrindavan, it seems like the Brijavasis, all they did was lament. But that lamentation was the highest ecstasy. Uddhava was constantly with Krishna in Mathura. He was his dearest, closest associate and friend. They would walk together, they would eat together, they would talk together, they would sit together. But when he saw the lamentation of the gopis and the gopas, he prayed, that's what I want. They're so filled with Krishna, so absorbed with loving Krishna, and Krishna's reciprocating so deeply with their love. It's not lamentation in a material sense. It's viraha. It's ecstatic love in separation, which is the deepest connection. So Krishna is explaining, when you satisfy me, I give you prem, I give you love, divine love. And that fills the soul unlimitedly, so there can never be any other cause of selfish material lamentation. Even death has no effect on the love of the eternal soul. After Krishna offers the benediction to Muchukunda, Muchukunda bows down. And he remembers the words of the great sage Garga Muni. Garga Muni predicted Krishna. During the name-giving ceremony of Sri Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, he revealed that this little child, Gopal, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in every age, and now he has come. And Garga Muni also blessed Muchukunda that he would have the darshan of Krishna. And here Muchukunda is asking, he's preparing to ask for his benediction in today's verse. He's saying, the people of this world, both men and women, are bewildered by your illusory energy, unaware of their real benefit. They do not worship you, but instead seek happiness by entangling themselves in family affairs, which are actually sources of misery. He has realization. He's being tested by Krishna. You see, we could learn philosophy, so much nice understandings of the difference between matter and spirit, truth and illusion. But unless we really have that higher taste, param drishtva nivartate, it only comes to realization. Our intellectual adjustments cannot really protect us when the tests come. They give us the right direction. Jnana vijnana triptatma. When we practice the knowledge that we receive, it gradually becomes, by grace of God, realization. Mochakunda had such realization. He doesn't want anything of this world. And he's using the word anartha. Artha means that which has real value. And everything that is going to be consumed by time to Mochakunda is anartha. It doesn't have much value. He gives the example that time is like a snake with sharp fangs. And all the things of this world that we identify with on the bodily concept are like little mice. And the snake of time is soon to devour it. Hare Krishna. It's quite a graphic example he's using. But it's the reality. In the universal form, Krishna says, time I am, devouring everything, everyone, on the bodily and mental states. Krishna tells in Gita, raga dvesha vimuktaisam vishayanindriyaischara, that by following the regulative principles of freedom, by following this path of bhakti, one goes beyond the happiness and distress of this world. One actually is established in the true eternal self, the Atma, which is beyond time. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire, beyond death. That which will give us happiness beyond birth and death, that is artha. That is of real value. And the things of this world, and the people of this world, and even our own bodies, they are artha. They have great value when we see it in relationship to the eternal soul and seva, or devotional service. It's the relationship of love between the Atma and the Paramatma, the soul and God, that is really of true eternal spiritual value. And Rupa Goswami tells us that whatever is in this world that is seen in that context and used accordingly, it has great spiritual value. Not the thing, but the connection to Krishna. The only benediction Mochakunda wants, my Lord, only I want to serve you. I want to take shelter of you and serve you. Nothing else has value. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that the greatest achievement, the highest position we can achieve, greater than being a king, greater than being a demigod, a deva, greater than achieving liberation into the unlimited Brahman,
is to be das, to be a servant of God.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extends that greater than being a das, the highest title in all of existence, our eternal nature, is das, 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 anudas.
To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant.
And Krishna's revealing this today through this great king, Muchukunda, who was so powerful he protected the devas. But the only thing he wants is to be a servant of the servant of the Lord. King Prataparudra in Jagannath Puri.
He was also a great king, unrivaled. Lord Chaitanya would not meet him because generally kings are very much attached to material prestige, power, luxury. So sannyasis don't affiliate themselves with that. But when he saw King Prataparudra with a broom sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath and the devotees, and understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not just see the thing you do. Krishna sees our intent, our purpose. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher janatishthati, because he's within our heart. Everyone else is seeing from the outside in when they look at us, but Krishna is seeing from the inside out. He's seeing what is your motive, what is your purpose, and why you're doing what you're doing. And he's going to reciprocate with us according to that vision. King Prataparudra, even though he was a king with such power and such youth and such beauty and such fame and such loyal subjects, he was sweeping a street. Not just to show that I'm humble, but because he was honestly, earnestly, genuinely feeling himself, Jagannath, you are the king. I'm just your servant. Whatever I have is yours. These are all your children. I'm their servant. Let me sweep for you. Lord Chaitanya decided, I am going to give my complete mercy to them. Because of his attitude to serve. And later on, King Prataparudra was given the service of disguising himself and going into the garden where Lord Chaitanya was resting, where he was massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and legs. And by the mercy of the devotees, Muchukunda, in his prayer to Krishna, he explains the same principle. He's a great king, but he's saying when one actually comes to the state where one can, of the greatest blessing, one is given the association of sadhus, the association of devotees. Because at that point, one's material conditionings and sufferings is finished. Because in the association of devotees, we get Krishna's blessings, we get that connection, and we get the ways, the means by which we could transcend. So the devotees told King Prataparudra to sing the Gopi Gita to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was singing. And Lord Chaitanya was embracing him and weeping tears of his love and bathing King Prataparudra with those tears. Then Lord Chaitanya asked the king, "Who are you?" You have brought so much nectar to me. You are the most munificent of all welfare workers because you are awakening Krishna within my heart and you are bestowing it upon the world. Tell me who you are. King Prataparuja spoke from his heart. He said, I am the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only aspiration forever is only to be the servant of your servant of your servants. And Srila Prabhupada explains there, this was the realization of Dhruva. This was the realization of Prahlad. Even when offered anything, they only wanted to be servant of servant of servant. This is true artha. True value. Because it is beyond time. It is the eternal nature of the true self. Thank you very much.
So we have two very pleasant announcements. Four devotees, two couples, have come here with their families, one of them actually from out of town, really to seek the blessings of all the devotees and of course Radha Gopinathji for their marriage announcements. May I ask Harish Gali Prabhu and Gitanjali Belidandi Mataji to stand up please. Harish Gali Prabhu is in ISKCON since over 10 years. His parents are also initiated. His brother is in our Brahmachari Ashram, Braj Mohan Prabhu. And he is a very active preacher in the IYS. He has completed his graduation, his BTEC, and he is working with Cognizant Technology for the last 3 years. Mataji also has been working with the same company for the last 1 year. She also completed her graduation. She is also in the movement since over 6 years. And even her parents are chanting and they are fixed up in devotional service. And she is very regular in garland preparation and cooking. So both these devotees are seeking everyone's blessings here. So please give them your full support by loudly chanting. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Also, you can sit down. May I ask Avinash Parmar Prabhu and Seema Khandare Mataji to stand up. So Avinash Prabhu, the both of them are in the Mira Road and connected to Radha Giridhari Temple as well as our temple. Avinash Prabhu has done his fashion designing and his tailoring. Many devotees have used his services. He loves devotees and he's also been chanting for the last couple of years. Is a regular at the Radha Giridhari temple. And Seema Mataji has been a devotee from the time she was born. She's the daughter of our Radha Raman Prabhu, who's the electrician at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So she has been surrounded by devotees right from her childhood, and she also is rendering regular service at the temple right from her childhood. So both these devotees here are very humbly seeking everyone's blessings and prayers. So please give with your full heart your blessings by loudly chanting. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.